1 Kings 17. In the month of October, we've been looking at the storms of life, and really not had too bad of a storm this week, but praise God, we know something's coming this week. But anyways, talking about storms, 1 Kings 17, a very, very familiar portion of Scripture, I'm sure, to most of you. And talking about Elijah and him going up and presenting himself before the wicked King Ahab. And I thought about that, you know, dealing with people. Well, let's get right into it. And it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." We'll stop there for a minute. We start out this morning looking at some of the storms that come our way. And last week we continued looking at Joseph and how Joseph came through so many battles in his life and yet never took his eyes off of the Lord, did he? Stayed consistent, stayed faithful. And I'm so thankful for that. For you, first of all, notice with me this morning, we see a request being made by the Lord. Now, again, one of the storms that will come to the life of Elijah, we know this, is that the wicked king and queen now put a bounty out on his head. They said, if you find this fella, bring him to us, we're going to kill him. And so he was dealing with a lot of problems and a lot of issues and what we would call a storm. But there's a request made by God. Did God ever tell you to do something you don't want to do? Or he ever ask you to do something you don't want to do? It happens to me all the time. And I say, Lord, I think you've got the wrong person. He says, no, I want you to do it. But Lord, I can't do that. Remember what Moses said? Lord, I don't speak well. Well, I'll send someone with you. Oh, Lord, I'm not very talented. I'll give you the power. Lord, I don't. What if they say no? He says, I'll be with you. Time and time again. That's exactly what goes on. And it's dealing with people. People are people, aren't they? And the ministry is not paperwork. It's people work, isn't it? You're dealing with people. And you folks work with people all day. I know you do. And there's people you like and people you don't like. I'm reminded of the young girl came home one day and she said, Mama, you won't believe it. I found the man of my dreams. Really? She was so excited. And he got down on one knee and he wants me to marry him and everything else. And she said, praise God. Well, a week went by. She came back and she was crying. What's wrong, sweetie? She said, I found out something. I can't marry him. She said, well, why not? I found out that he doesn't know his Bible. And he, in fact, told me he doesn't believe in hell. And she said, go ahead and marry him. We'll show him. We'll show them. There are people like that. We'll show them. You think about that today. There's a lot around the people we have to deal with. Now, thinking through this, the request made. And he says, I want you to go. Chapter 18 talks about him going back to Ahab and presenting himself back to him. Now, by this time, you recall and remember your Bible that there had been a famine. And who'd they blame? Elijah. His fault. And God says, why don't you go back and present yourself? How'd you like that? You ever offended somebody or hurt someone, said something about, and then you had to go back or you ran into them somewhere, like at the store, and you went, oh, geez, you know. Or you did something, you know, and you didn't apologize or get it right, and you ran into them. You think about that, and they come back and says, I want you to go back and present yourself. Damn, what I'm talking about here this morning is that there's storms in life, and the Lord will request some things from us or to do certain things. I think about so many characters throughout the Bible. And you think about several individuals. One that comes to mind is Jonah. He says to Jonah, what's he say? Go down and preach to the Ninevites. And Jonah says, Lord, you don't know who they are. He says, I know who they are. Lord, they're wicked people. They hate us. He says, I want you to go. And he rebelled and said, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to go. By the way, let me remind you of just a parenthetical thing with this. God has your best interest in mind. God, everything God does in your life is for your best interest. Now, I don't understand everything. why God would allow that tragedy or something to happen. I don't understand it all, but I'm just saying we have to trust in a faithful, loving God that has our best interests in mind. And when He does ask us to do something that we don't want to do, we can trust Him. I love the Psalms. You read the Psalms? Oh, they're wonderful. Aren't they comforting? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But what happens? He maketh me lie down in green pasture. He talks about all this good stuff. And then he says this, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. The rod and the staff to the sheep is not a good thing. They don't like the rod and the staff. The rod and the staff is used to bring them back or give them a little whack on the backside or something. What? To keep them from going outside the fence to the wolves or to keep them from fighting with each other or other things. But David says there, they comfort me. I understand God's in control and I understand He has my best interest in mind. I think about a man in the book of 2 Kings chapter 5 by the name of Naaman. You remember him? He was a general in the army for the Syrians and he had leprosy and he came, didn't he? And Elisha says what? Go dip in the river and seven times and you'll be healed. He got all upset, didn't he? Ugh, how he didn't even have the decency to come down. I'm so important and he doesn't know who I am. And sometimes if you're like me, that's how I feel. You know, Lord, you're asking me to do that. I can't do that. I'm not good at that. I'm better than that, Lord. No. We see today the request given, and Elijah in our text here says, I'll go ahead and do it. I'll go ahead and do it. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. I'll go forward. I thought about that the same apostles that stayed up all night fishing. They stayed up all night fishing to try and what? Make money. They stayed up all night fishing. And then Jesus comes to them in that great day and he says, what? Could you stay up with me and pray? What'd they do? Lord, we've had a long day. I mean, I can't keep my eyes open. I'm tired. They fell asleep. In the hour when Jesus needed them the most, they fell asleep. But they could sure fish all night. Isn't that like us? Oh, I can't come to church. Oh, but I passed you going to Walmart. I know it. That's what I do. I know that. You think about it. The same people that said, no, we can't. Well, if it has to do with my benefit, if it has to do with my income, has to do with me progressing in life and my pleasure, I'll go ahead and do it. But not for you, Lord. Oh, the request given. We think about today how many times God's come to us and asked us and said, Lord, Tim, why don't you go ahead and I want you to go and I want you to do. And I say, Lord, no, no, I can't do that. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. I think about the man by the name of Gideon, Judges chapter 6. You remember him? What a wonderful story. Judges chapter 6. You ought to read it sometime. Gideon is threshing wheat, hiding it from the Midianites. He's back there in the back threshing wheat to provide food for his family. And by the way, God comes to the people that are busy. Tired people rule the world or run the world. He always comes to people. I'm too busy, Lord. Good. That's who God's looking for. It's not the lazy, apathetic deadbeats that God goes after. He just doesn't. He goes after those leadership type of people. But he comes to Gideon and says what? He says, I want you to lead our people or my people, the Jews, out from under captivity. And I want you to go forward and lead them in battle. And Gideon says, I don't think you know who you're talking to. And he basically says, are you talking to me? He says, yeah, you. He looks behind him. Me? Yeah, you. Gideon had such a low self-esteem and had such a low view of himself. And God came to him. And I've said this before, but remember this. When you think, however you think of yourself, God sees you in a much better light. And the song that's sung before, I don't know if you've heard it, but when others saw a shepherd boy in David, remember his brothers, how poorly they treated him? God saw a king. And God said, no, not him, not him, not him, not him. It's that guy, the last little runt of the family. You David, are you sure? Yeah, David. And that's who God's looking at. So you think about it. Don't let your own estimation of yourself hinder you from serving God. Let God tell you who you are. By the way, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. By the way, you're a child of the King. By the way, heavy is the crown. It's a heavy crown to wear, but you also are a part of the kingdom. You're one of the children of God. So wear it proudly. Now, thinking about this, as we see so many characters throughout the scriptures that said to God, God, I don't know if you got the right person. Lord, I don't know if I can do it. And God said, if you'll just trust me and step out by faith, I'll lead you. But what happens? Gideon goes forward in great battle. And he said, well, Lord, we don't have any weapons. He says, you don't need weapons, right? Remember, they held up the lamp, broke the pot, broke the lamps. All of a sudden, everything came unraveled, and all the guys down in the valley fought with each other and killed each other. God took care of it. Remember those things you worried about that never even came to pass, never even came to fruition? You ever have that? Lord, we're so worried. I don't know how we're going to make it. We've already forgotten about it. We already forgot that we worried about it and prayed about it. We already forgot God took care of it. So we think sometimes that although it's difficult, God is here to help. Not only the request. Let me move ahead here. I must hurry. We see the rest given. He says in verse 3, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook. Hide thyself. Not only the request given, but in between the storms of life, there's also a rest period. The rest given. You remember what Jesus said as we talked about last Sunday, about how Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that want more to do, and I'm going to burden you with more stuff and stress you out. Does he say that? What's he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and in return for that, I'm going to give you rest. I'll take all of your burdens on my back. I'll take all of your problems on my back, and in return for that, I'll give you the rest you want. And that's a fascinating statement. You ought to read it, Matthew 11. Now we think about the rest that is given by our Lord. We studied and have been studying in our Bible Institute about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is what? For a day of rest for God's people. And God said, I want to give you a day of rest that you can set aside. In the Psalms, we see a statement made, Selah or Selah. It means rest, right? It's a rest as you sing those Psalms. You know music. You know there are rest periods and where you take a breath. The resting that is present in our lives. And we think about that. The preparation that's given for Elijah to go and do more. God gives all of us seasons of life, and I'm so thankful for that. It's not always hot. Some of you that have lived in other places, Florida, California, the weather usually stays pretty, besides the hurricanes and stuff, stays pretty even. I mean, you think about it, you've ever been up to Minnesota, Wisconsin, up in there, North Dakota. Ooh, that's cold. I mean, cold, cold, cold. And you see that. God gives us seasons, though, for a reason. Sometimes it is hard. Sometimes it's difficult. But he also gives us the rest we need. The rest that was given to the apostles. Jesus said, I want you to get apart from the people and rest. And the Bible says because they had a tremendous time with all the people, daily, constantly, wanting something. Can you help me? Can you give us? Can you feed our family? Can you heal us? Heal my son. Heal my daughter. Help us. He says, I want you to rest. Jesus gives rest. Paul gives rest. Paul says to the church, he says, come rest with us. Rest with us. A time aside. I think about the story of the two painters. They were painting some beautiful pictures, and a man comes up to both of them and he says, can you paint a picture depicting rest or depicting peace? And the two painters said, well, sure. The one painter started out and painted a beach, palm trees, a beautiful sunset, and a guy on a little chair with his feet kicked up and a drink in his hand. That's peace. Scratched his head. The painter next to him said, that's not peace. He starts painting a raging waterfall. I mean, raging. He made it so dramatic and so you could see in the picture. It was just loud, you know. And on that, he painted a little branch sticking out over the waterfall with a nest in it and a little bird with its beak open in the pose of singing or whistling. He said, that's peace. And under it, he said, what? Peace is not found in the absence of trouble, but in the presence of God. That little bird was singing in the midst of the most raging waterfall, raging river. That's peace. And that's the peace God gives, isn't it? That's the peace that we're looking for. That's the rest we're looking for. The world goes out and seeks rest in other places. It seeks rest in immorality. It seeks rest in all of the things that give us that high. But God says, I'll give you the rest you're looking for. He sat on a well one day next to a young gal and he said, you're looking for rest. And she said, well, yeah. And he goes through the whole thing with her. And he says, if you would have asked me, I would have given you water that you'll never thirst again. And in her understanding, without spiritual, we're going to look at that this evening, spiritual discernment, she says what? Give me that water that I don't have to come and dip this thing down in the well and bring it up and sweat every day. He said, I'm talking about spiritual water. You're thirsting after something. You're constantly thirsty and can't seem to satiate that which is inside, deep down in there. Deep down in there. I've talked to drug addicts before, but they say they're that high, there's something deep within them that's like almost an itch that they can't itch. They can't get to it unless they shoot up, unless they smoke it. Right? That's what he's talking. We think about today how that God says, I'll give you the rest that you need. And we see here, oh, I've got so much. Let me keep going here. We see then the outreach, or I put the reach. The reach. Notice verse number 8, if you will. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. He arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. He called her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Notice this. In the midst of our storms in between, God has a plan for us to reach other people. Isn't that fascinating? Elijah's in between a king and queen that want his head cut off. And in the chapter after, in 18, he's going to go up to Mount Carmel and perform the great work of fire coming down and revealing who God is. And afterwards, again, he'll go and be pursued by the enemy and so forth. He has in between two storms. And in between that, he's seeking to help somebody else, as we said last week. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said what? What you're going through right now is not for you to endure only, but it's for you then to reach out to other people and comfort others. Wherewith you were comforted by God, now I want you to take that and comfort other people. Some of you have gone through unique situations that no one else has gone through. Some of you have gone through some very unique situations or tragedies or something in your life nobody else has gone through. You say, what was that for, Lord? Well, don't waste it. God's going to send somebody your way that you can help. You can put an arm around. Say, I've been there. No, you haven't. Yeah, I have. I've been there. And I want to tell you what God did. I want to tell you how you can get through it. I want to encourage you and help you. Oh, we need more encouragement. The reach. He says, I'm going forth. You may have heard the poem before about I am only one. I'm only one, but I'm still one. And I can do something. And I won't neglect to do that which I can do because I'm only one. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. I'm only one. Do you ever feel that way? I'm just one person. We're just one church. I'm just one. No, nobody cares what I think. Nobody cares what I have to say. Welcome to the club. Nobody cares. You think about, man, I'm only one. Yes, God says that's who I want. By the way, have you ever studied your Bible and look at that? God always works in the minority. He never goes with the majority. Oh, the majority of people are going this way. Let's go that way. God says no. In fact, Elijah says this. He says, Lord, I'm the only one left. And God says, no, you're not. No, you're not. I have many that have not bowed the knee to Baal. I'm only one, though. That's all I need. You know, God delights in using people that are inadequate. In fact, He doesn't like using people that are uber talented. He doesn't like using people that have all the talent and have all the good looks and have all the things. Praise God. Amen. Thank God. He delights in using a small church like ours. Why? Because he can show himself strong. How in the world did Brother Tim do that? The Lord. How in the world did that church do that? The Lord. How in the world did their marriage ever make it? The Lord. How in the world did their kids ever grow up to be faithful to God? The Lord did that. And I'm telling you today, God delights in using people like you and like me. Oh, the reach. Have you reached somebody lately? Have you reached them? reached out to them. I mean, just did something nice, a gesture of kindness, a gesture, something that lets them know that, hey, I'm different. Hey, I want to show you something different. I want to be somebody different. I want just a little gesture to somebody to let them know that there's still a God on the throne. There's still a God in heaven. There's still a God who's in control. Our voting is coming up, our elections. People are so worried. Oh, what are we going to do? I don't know what to do. And we ought to be concerned, obviously. We have the privilege to vote. We should vote because we are so privileged to do so. But we need to remember that the king's heart is where? It's still in the hand of the Lord. And he turns it whithersoever he will. Again, I say I don't understand all of that, what goes on and what the Lord allows. But we know that God's in control. And God wants to use us. May we be faithful. In the midst of adversity, in the midst of some storms, but even in between storms, are we reaching people? Yes, there's rest given and we should rest. But also remember, there are people around us hurting. People around us looking, not for somebody to criticize, not for somebody, they get enough of that. Not for somebody to gripe and jump all over them all the time about what they've done wrong, but somebody to be reached. Henry Ford, he once made a statement. He said, chop your own wood, you'll be warmed twice. Isn't that true? You'll be warmed twice. You work that old axe up, you'll be warmed twice. I thought about that. Man, help somebody out, reach out to somebody else. What does it do? It helps them, but what does it do with you? Warms you, doesn't it? And I did something. I did something. And Elijah said, I'm not going to just sit here and twiddle my thumbs. I'm going to do what God told me to do. Now, I just want to emphasize this. It's the word of the Lord that came. It's the word of the Lord that directed. It's the word of the Lord that came and directed him, isn't it? It's the word of the Lord. That's where we get it. The Lord hasn't spoken to me lately. How much have you been in this? That's where the Lord speaks. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Okay, here it is, right? We need to be in the word. And I want to challenge you with that. I want to encourage you with that. Again, read your Bibles. You say, I'm too busy. Okay, turn it on in the truck. Just let it play. On your phone, on your Bluetooth, whatever you do, just let that thing play. Man, it'll challenge you. And so we see the reach. I must continue and wrap this up. We see then the relationship developed. God comes and he tells what? Elijah, after all that he's done. And I hate to skip over chapter 18 because it's such a wonderful chapter and we've covered it before. But if you would go to chapter 19, we see the incredible relationship or revelation that is given. Chapter 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. He was a crybaby, remember that? Ahab, look what he did. And withal he'd slain all the prophets. Jezebel sent messengers unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also. If I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She said, if I find you, I'm going to kill you. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die. It is enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. I'm not better than my fathers. You think about it, you ever been under the juniper tree? The juniper tree of life? Boy, that's a challenge. Lord, it's only me. Lord, you know what they've said about me. Lord, you know how she's treated me. Lord, you know how he's treated me. I've tried to be a good wife and a good housekeeper. And Lord, you know how she's treated me. I've tried to work hard. I get up every day, go to work, and she doesn't appreciate it. I've been under that. It's a lot of it's legitimate, we know. But as we see, David encouraged himself in the Lord. He requested himself might die. Let me die. It's enough now. Isn't it? I like to tell God what to do sometimes. Do you? Lord, go ahead and just do it. Lord, I'm done. I've had enough. He says, no. No. Verse 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him, said unto him, rise and eat. He looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals. I like that. And cruse of water at his head. He did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. He arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Man, that must have been some thick mashed potatoes and gravy or something. 40 days he lasted on that meal. But he went forward. He went forward and he said, Lord, I'm going to do. The Lord said, I'm going to show you what to do. This evening, if the Lord allows it, we're going to look at that. And one aspect, you remember in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Peter says the same thing. The Lord comes to Peter and says, arise and eat, kill and eat. Peter says, no, Lord, I've never touched anything unclean. And we're going to talk about the discernment that's there. Sometimes it's hard to discern between a test and a command. You ever been there? Lord, are you testing me? I don't want to step out and fail the test. Or is God commanding me to do something? And he goes forward. And he came to the cave and lodged there. And the word of the Lord came to him. Verse 9, what doest thou here? I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword. I only am left. They seek my life to take it away. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. A great and strong wind rent the mountains, break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind and the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, still small voice. Underline that. And it was so. When Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there was a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here? I've been very jealous. He says it again. He says it again. And so we think about here, verse 18, let's wrap it up there. And yet I've left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, every mouth which have not kissed him. Elijah says, what should I do, Lord? I want to emphasize lastly here the great relationship that's given to us that will wait upon the Lord. Isaiah says what? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They won't faint. We see here the relationship. You know, God wants to do something special with us. These 7,000 other individuals that were still faithful to God, they didn't get to have the cave experience like Elijah did. They didn't bow. You know, there's some people today that never get to experience certain things that we get to experience. And Elijah says, Lord, I've done my part. Now just take me home. I'm done. I'm not done yet. The relationship that God wants to bring out and bring to us is a unique relationship, as you know, you've experienced. But we must continue that. We must continually seek Him. It's revealed by the Word, and it's spoken by the still, small voice, that quietness. That's what it means. In a world today that's raging with noise, isn't it? I mean, just noise, noise, noise. Constant noise. Loud, obnoxious people talking so loud these days. People just blaring their music and everything else you can think of. It's the louder the better. And we see here that God speaks in a very still, quiet voice, getting alone with Him. That's what He does. Elijah says, well, Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, is it in the fire? Is it in the earthquake and the wind? Is it in that tornado? This loud, boisterous thing? No, it's in a still, small voice. And through this time in your life, I don't know where you are this morning, but with that storm you're going through, with whatever you're dealing with, God wants to develop the relationship. The goal of it is to draw you closer to Him. Everything we go through is to get us closer to God, and ultimately culminating to that one day when we'll breathe our last breath, wherever that will be, maybe on the job site, maybe at home, maybe somewhere, breathe our last breath. And it culminates into us stepping over into glory and spending eternity with God. Isn't that wonderful? As we're here, though, God says, I want to develop and strengthen your relationship with me stronger and stronger every day of your life. It's revealed by the Word, number one, and it's spoken through the still, small voice. The small voice, the Holy Spirit moving and leading. Again, let me emphasize, you will not hear an audible voice, okay? He's spoken to us in these last times through the Word, Hebrews chapter 1, through the Word. And we must remember that. As I seek God, Lord, it's challenging because of what I'm going through, yes, but I want you to develop. James says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to us. See, it's not a one-sided relationship. God says, draw nigh to me. Come on, you can make it. Come on, oh, you fell down? Come on, keep, no. To say, when we take one step towards God, what's He do? He meets us more than halfway. Isn't that wonderful? Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. It's the wonderful picture of the prodigal son. It's when the son turned from his wicked life and went back home, and he got out to the fence line of the ranch, and he peeks over the fence and he sees the house. And he goes, they won't take me back. I've screwed up. I've screwed up too much. What happens? He takes one step over the fence, starts walking towards the house. Here comes the dad running out more than halfway, embraces him. That's what God does. He said, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. When we draw nigh to God, we cleanse ourselves, don't we? The closer we get to the light, the more blemishes we see. The closer we get to the light, we say, Lord, oh, I got to get that right and get this right. And then that, and the people don't get close to God because they don't want to rectify or fix those problems. They like it. Our world today. I must conclude here. Let's wrap it up. The relationship given. He says, Elijah, not only am I going to use you, but I have individuals still, 7,000 in Israel that are still on my side. And God wants you to not only strengthen other people, but he wants to use those people to strengthen you. That's a unique thing about a church. We strengthen each other. You say, well, I can't go. Well, I've been through that. Oh, great. I'm going through a difficult season. Okay, we'll pray for you. Great. That's what he says. And we're not alone today. God is always with us. We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Yes, but we also have brethren, you here this morning, that we lock arms together and pray for each other and help each other in between the storms. Do you have some friends today? I hope some of your closest friends are in the church. We got a lot of acquaintances, but you know you couldn't call them at 3:00 in the morning with the problem. Hey, I just got news, my son's in the hospital. You call one of us? Yeah, we'll be groggy. Let me call I'm going to call the church and get everyone together to pray. You see, you can't call your buddies on at work to do that. The uniqueness of that, right? The beauty of a family, the church family. That's what it is. Paul says, endeavor, continue, strive for the unity of the church in the bond of peace. Unify. And that's what we need today. We need more of the Word of God. We need more of Christ. We don't need less. Your relationship should be developing stronger and stronger and stronger every day. Yeah, we trip up and fail and falter. I couldn't tell you, I've got more than 2 pages of lists of things I failed last week with. We've got problems, don't we? I mean, always tripping up and falling and failing. But we keep on trucking. We keep going. We keep focused and say, God, through this time, whether I just came out of a storm, whether I'm about to go into another storm, or whether I'm in between, I'm going to draw nigh to you. That's what Elijah did, and he focused on the Lord. Is there a hard request that's come your way? Trust the Lord. He's got your best interests in mind. Trust Him. When we do, we see amazing things that we would never see otherwise. Do you have some time of rest? Then take the rest. God's given it to you for a reason, but know you're being prepared for more, not just sit back. Well, I'm in my silver years. I'm in my golden years. I'm somewhere in between. It's time for me to rest and kick back. No, you're going to falter. The adversary likes to get you when you are resting, and that's when we focus on him. Idleness is the devil's workshop, right? David, instead of going out and fighting the battles, he went up on his rooftop, on his terrace there, and looked down, saw a girl bathing herself and said, kind of lonely, and I like what I see. Corrupted the kingdom. Everything got messed up, didn't it? Everything. The rest is given for us not to sit back. What's it for? To prepare us for more. And then the reach. Are you reaching people? Reach out to people. It amazes me how much I talk on social media and everywhere else, and I never mention the name of Christ. It's amazing that we get together with family and friends, not once talk about Christ, not once invite them to church, not once maybe share the gospel. I mean, just emphasizing our relationship with the Lord. And have you strengthened your relationship with Him today? Everything God is doing in your life today to draw you closer, get you closer. Why? Because we naturally drift. It's just natural. We just drift away. We drift away. We get outside the fence, and there's the wolves waiting. There's the wolves. And God says, I want to keep you close. Yeah, but Lord, I don't like it in here. Spend time with me. You'll start to like it. Spend time in the Word and spend time in prayer, seeking God, He'll show you. Okay, I'm going to stop there. We'll continue this message next week and we'll wrap it up, okay? Anyways, I pray God will be with you this week. Lord bless you, all right? And stay faithful to Him. I know you will.